Alright, just kidding, it's going. Okay, so my name is Madeline Schultz, and I am 21 years old. It's a weird thing to ask. Today is April 5th, 2018, and I am speaking with Elena Morales. Hi, yes. Elena.
Hi, Madeline.
And Shannon Salter.
Hello.
Okay. Let me pause. We are in De Pere, Wisconsin, in Malva Library.
306.
Also, it's not...
At St. Norbert College.
I like having the...
Yes.
I mean, this is good.
Now. Okay, so my first question was, what was the Impact Conference? What was this purpose?
We had a lot of practice over this when we would talk to our Uber driver, and they would ask us what we were doing in Dayton, Ohio. And I think Elena had a really great answer every time we did it, and she said that we were a group of individuals at this conference, like in community talking about like social justice and advocacy and sharing our resources, I believe is what you would talk about a lot. But how would you describe it, Elena?
Yeah, it's basically a conference, that's focused on social justice issues. And the theme this year was action advocacy, so it was all about how we can empower ourselves and our community to get out and do good for our communities. And I really like the Impact Conference. This is my first time going in March, but it was mostly like kind of student-led, student-driven, so lots of student presenters from all different colleges, and then, I mean, all like student participation. So it was a really good way for me as a college administrator to like meet other students and get a feel for like what college students are dealing with right now.
For sure.
And kind of get outside of my St. Norbert bubble.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I really appreciated that as well, since it was all student-led or mostly student-led with school administration helping co-facilitate, or there were some that were fully facilitated by administration members, but I think it was really great to feel to go outside of the St. Norbert bubble, as Elena was saying, because sometimes when you are in a community such as St. Norbert, which is so tiny, you kind of lose focus and lose hope for the greater good. But when you're at a conference with so many individuals that are also fighting and working towards this common good with our common goal of social justice, you feel like there's hope. And I left feeling pretty hopeful.
Yeah, it just like re-sparks, like reignites your perspective, I think. Which is good.
Yeah, much needed.
Makes the impact.
Okay,
so my next question is about what you presented on. So what did you find in your exploration of the social media and storytelling as tools to express empathy and compassion?
It was interesting because, so our presentation was on the ethics of sharing stories of service, and so what we did is we found different images from our social media feeds that were taken from service experiences and shared those. We had our own opinions about what we liked and what we didn't like and why we picked the images we did, but we didn't express that or didn't forward any of our images with our opinions of those images. We just wanted the attendees to kind of give us their thoughts and see how they aligned or mismatched with ours. And one thing I thought was really interesting that kind of came out of this conversation we had at the conference was that everyone kind of realizes that when you take a picture at a service site and post it to your social media, like most of the time that is coming from a good place, but you also can't really remove the social media as like a way we brand ourselves, mm-hmm. and as a way we like market our own lives and experiences. And so when it comes right down to it, like, can you ever really separate the brand of yourself from the experience that you're sharing that's meant to be like you're in community and you're practicing empathy and you're trying to show compassion and you want your networks to see this and know that this is something you think about and this is something you care about, But at the end of the day, is it just another way that you're kind of marketing or branding your life
to get to the people, likes?
To get the likes, yeah. Exactly. And so that was really interesting because I don't think we'd gone that deep in thinking of it in that way when we were doing our planning. And I think everyone was kind of surprised that that was kind of where the conversation went in the session.
Yeah.
Because everyone there, like, does service and shares it on their social media, and they were like, oh, as we were kind of coming to this conclusion, mm-hmm. everyone was like, oh, maybe this is more problematic than we originally mm-hmm. thought. And, like, is there a way around that other than to, like, not share?
Yeah. And it was very interesting because we had so many different perspectives in that room. We had one individual who was in charge of his social media, like the school's social media page for service. And so he came at it as a very different perspective than, let's say, another individual who at the end of it was like, I don't think I should be sharing any social media, like sharing any of my stories on social media. So we had people who are doing it as their job to people who are like, I'm not going to do it again. And so it was very interesting to hear their different perspectives and creating this code of ethics together, because we had to, like, talk about it and work it out as a group and come together as a group to decide on it. And so it was very interesting because I didn't really go into it thinking, oh, it's a branding thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now I left it. Thinking about this, and now I'm thinking about it every time I post something on my social media, like, oh, I guess I am really doing this for, like, branding purposes.
Yeah. Like, what's your image
yeah.
on social media? And another thing I thought was interesting is that we did have a few people in the session who, like, would identify as members of, like, some of the communities that we serve. Mm-hmm. So there were people with, like, different physical ability or, like, different mental ability, and they would speak up and say, like, you know, as someone who identifies with this community, I find this post problematic, or I mm-hmm. find this message problematic. And that really struck me as well, because I think so often it might be slight, but we don't realize how easy it is to objectify, like, the people that we're supposed to be serving with mm-hmm. and, like, accompanying. And just how easy it is to separate ourselves, like, from another person, even yes. if that's not our intent.
And I think another thing we found really interesting, or at least I found really interesting, was separating, like, the photo and the caption, and how much the caption can contribute to either the objectifying or lifting up the community.
Yes.
For example, there's one picture that we were looking at and analyzing that the caption didn't have a subject, didn't have... I'm trying to think of what the caption was.
It had no subject. It was just, like, it was, like, not even a complete sentence, which I'm a grammar nerd, so that to me made a lot of sense. Like, oh, yeah, you need a subject in all your sentences. But it was basically, like, you were looking at this picture and you were reading the caption, and it was, like, so are you even talking about the people in
yeah.
this picture? Like, are you associated with these people at all? Like, it completely stripped the subject of the photo of their agency.
Yeah. For me, like, when you pointed that out, I wasn't even thinking about the subject, but I think when you brought up that, to me, it really connected. You're taking away their agency, as you're saying, but also you're saying they don't even, their dignity, they don't even deserve hearing,
yeah.
like, they don't even deserve you saying, like, creating them to be the most important thing of a sentence. They don't deserve it.
In, like, in the picture that they're in, they
yeah.
don't even get a voice,
yeah.
right? Like, yeah.
That's kind of nuts.
It was a lot. It is sad though because
I don't know. Are you actually doing the good to do the good, or are you mm-hmm. doing it just to get glory from
yeah.
it? Like, that's really interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and like one of the, so I work with TRIPS, which is our alternative break on campus. And one of the things we try to do is bring, like, meeting people where they are at and helping walk alongside them for them to grow. So
mm-hmm.
there's the active citizen continuum for Breakaway, where you can be anywhere on that continuum as a member, which is you're just starting off, you're in community, and your intentions may not be good, but you're starting off. So, like, that's a lot of times where I think of where they're at in the social media, where you're doing this just kind of for the glory, but that's the first step, I think, into, like, starting to question it. And then you go into volunteer, which is, you are doing the good, and it still might not be the greatest intention, but then that can help you go into the conscientious citizen, where you're starting to ask the root causes and the questioning of, like, the structures. But you can't get there until you kind of mess up first. Mm-hmm. And are not doing it. Like, we all try start off. Yeah. None of us are, like, I don't think none of us are really born these social justice, like, warriors. You have to have these experiences of...
Well, learning, it goes back to, like, what London Coe was saying, who was one of the speakers at the conference. She is a small business owner in Dayton, and she was talking a lot about failure and, like, the failures she's experienced, like, becoming a small business owner, and how, like, you have to admit failure and you have to be, like, very visible with your failure, because that's what people learn from. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how we all learn. And, like, I think we're especially kind of stuck in this age right now where it's, like, especially, and this relates so much to social media, too, where it's, like, we try so hard to, like, look a certain way and, like, present ourselves a certain way. And, like, I think that's a lot of what we're seeing with, like, issues with, like, in our communities of, like, we're afraid to, like, talk to people about certain things because we don't want to say the wrong thing, mm-hmm. right? Like, we have to present ourselves perfectly. And I really liked London's talk about failure, because it's, like, no, like, the only way we're going to make things better is if we just do it and try and, like, be open to failure and be willing to, like, work through our failures together.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, that just, it just meshed so well with, like, what our session ended mm-hmm. up being about, and, like, kind of the whole conference theme, mm-hmm. and, like, anytime you're doing service or anytime you're, like, working with another person, like, there's going to be conflict and there's going to be failure, and you just have to be willing to, like, figure that out and not be afraid of it.
I'd much rather, like, have a conversation with someone and, like, I would much rather say the wrong thing, but then admit that I had done something wrong than not even, like, try to engage in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be no growth, no change.
Exactly.
To anyone if you are too afraid to engage. And I think that's one of the problems we have with our, like, conversations and our, like, dialect in our communities today, is we're just so afraid to, like, bring up this conflict or say something wrong that we aren't even engaging in conversation.
Bam.
Yeah.
And it is. Yeah.
And it's true. And that was, I just had my Title IX training, like, 2 weeks ago. And one thing we talked about in Title IX training was, like, knowing what your boundaries are and mm-hmm. then being vocal about your boundaries. Like, you can't expect other people to know what your boundaries are, mm-hmm. so that when someone oversteps your boundaries, like, don't get offended and shut down. Like, take that as an opportunity to teach that person about what your boundaries are. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, like, you might not know this about me, but I'm making this up, but, like, I'm really particular about my personal space. So, like, all the time, like, when I'm working with students, I'll lean into someone, like, at work to, like, show them something or mm-hmm. do something. And I just realize, like, how often I do that and take that for granted, that that person's going to be okay with me, like, mm-hmm. getting close to their, like, personal bubble.
Yeah.
And so I've started with my students that I'm working with being like, oh, I hope you don't mind. I'm just going to lean in a little closer. I'm going to reach over you. Like, just being more vocal about that, because, I think so often, too, people overstep our boundaries and we get afraid to, like, correct them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, how are people supposed to know? And, like, how is anyone supposed to know what you like or who you are if you're unwilling to, like, mm-hmm. speak up about it.
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
Yeah,
is it?
I think so. Okay. I think it is, because, yeah, a lot of times, I mean, I'm afraid to, like, speak up a lot of times about, like, when boundaries are stepped, or I don't know, it puts you in a very vulnerable spot. But I really appreciate when other people share when I overstep my boundary, because that allows me to grow and understand, and then ask questions mm-hmm. to understand how to best accompany people on our journeys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just the, not embarrassment, but, like, that initial, like, oh, God, what did I do? That, I mean, people try to stray from, especially, like, with conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You get all anxious and sweaty and all of that, but... So was that... The session was like, all interactive like that? Or did you... Yeah, it was. So you didn't... Your presentation was those pictures and explaining through that? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. So we were kind of nervous because it was really... We designed it to be very interactive. Mm-hmm. It was basically, like, us showing a picture and then asking people to, like, talk about it in a small group. Mm-hmm. And we were like, if these people don't want to talk...
I know.
Or if they, like, don't see what there is to talk about, I guess, with any of the pictures, like... Our session's gonna really suck.
Yeah, we were really nervous about that. I was freaking out about it. I was like, the night before, I was like, shoot, what if no, well, I was like, what if no one comes? What if no one wants to talk to each other? Like, what if they just all sit there and they're like, this, there's nothing wrong with our social media. But then our first session, well, we only have one session, like the first picture we showed was the conversation just like sparked. And it was so good. I literally just looked at Elena, and she goes, we had nothing to worry about. And I was like, yeah, I guess we did it. Like, I feel so much better already. I feel, and obviously, like, there was something to talk about if people could talk about it within seconds of showing the first picture.
And what I really enjoyed, too, is that the conversations ended up being so nuanced. Mm-hmm. So, like, it wasn't just like, oh, that's good, or oh, that's bad, and here's why. It was like they were picking up on these little details of things and bringing up things that I hadn't even thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And just bringing in so many different perspectives and, like, disagreeing with each other, like, really politely. And supporting each other also in, like, different comments they were saying. And so it was just, like, it was a really rich conversation. And it was just so fun. And it was, like, so, like, life-giving. Like, it was just, like, oh, this is something we should be doing. These are conversations we should be having.
Yeah. And... it makes me want to have these conversations on our campus because these aren't conversations we typically have, but I think they're very important.
Yes. And one of the attendees brought up a good point of, like, well, social media is, like, kind of our generation's thing, right?
Yeah.
And we haven't really been taught, like, don't do this or do this. Like, we've been taught about, like, privacy settings or, like, don't add your parents, maybe. I don't know. That's, like, that was a big thing, like, in my generation. Like, why are all our parents on Facebook all of a sudden? But
why are all our grandparents on there now?
Yeah, like, now it's, like, so different now. But, like, we've kind of had to evolve as the medium has evolved. And so unless we're having these conversations, how do we know, like, this is how we should be using it, or this is not appropriate? Yeah. Like, it's up to us to decide what the ethics of social media use are, like, as a generation.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure. All right. My next question was, what had compelled the both of you to pursue this project, or how did you stumble upon it, or just were talking one day and...
Yeah, so I think it started with, so Elena, our friend Maria, and myself did a presentation last year at the leadership conference at St. Norbert, and that was, like, dealing with difficult conversations, and so I think I really took a back seat on that and wasn't really a co-facilitator at all, because
I said that's nonsense.
I don't know. That's how I felt in this situation. But I felt like I was learning a lot from them, so I really wanted to do this again. And our friend, another friend, Krista, was telling us about the Impact Conference because she had gone twice with the Oxfam America group on St. Norbert's campus. And so we were like, I don't know if she told us we should do it.
I think she was the one that was pushing us to, like, do something at Impact. And, like, was sending us the links
for, yeah,
like, proposing a session and registering.
Yeah. And then I was like, Elena, we should do this.
Yeah.
And then we did it.
Yeah.
This is Crystal Bon...
Benversi.
Yeah.
Yeah. She works in the study abroad office.
Yeah.
That's so kind that she shoved it in your face and made you do it.
Yeah, it was. It was motivating.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the topic itself, I don't know if we were just, like, complaining one time to each other about, like, pictures that we'd seen. But I had done a similar kind of project when I was in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a class. It was a pre-departure class for course, going to South Africa. And they do community service when they're there for like the J term or the summer. And I couldn't go on the actual trip because mm-hmm. I wasn't an undergraduate student. So Jan, the professor, asked me to do like a separate kind of final project to share with the class. And we wanted it to be kind of like instructional in some way because I was also in like interning in the study abroad office
sure.
on campus that was sending these students to this program. And so we thought it could benefit me both like professionally and academically. And so I did a session, my final project was on like photo ethics, so photography ethics, and also on like Facebook use and just kind of like technology use in general when you're traveling. So thinking about like when you're out with your phone and you have your phone in your face and you're in another culture, like, do you stand out just by having your phone out in your hand, or like, is it part of the norm of the culture there too that everyone's like constantly has their face in their phone?
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of multifaceted and did touch a little bit on like when you're sharing photos of your experience, like think about like how your photos are framed and what captions you're using and what you're saying about the experience. And just as Shannon and I were kind of finding pictures and complaining about them, I was like, maybe we could kind of repurpose that
mm-hmm.
to this. And got more into, like, Shannon brought a lot of language from her work with trips about, like, disservice and looking at kind of more of the ethical side of it in terms of, like, when you're in community and, like, how all that fits together.
Yeah, and I think, so I work with the trips, as I said, and Elena does a lot with our trips program, and I think I started thinking about this and reflecting on it when I took a reflection class with Elena that she offered last semester. So last summer I spent time in L'Arche Clinton, which is an adult group home for adults with varying abilities, and even the pictures that were taken when I was there or other assistants or core members were taking and sharing on their social media, I started really thinking about how it creates an us and a them. Even though we were in community together, I was living in this home, there were times when I was like, this is really like disconnecting. And right now, with the help of this project we did, it's making me really think about how communities are creating an us and a them, and I'm now like researching that and pursuing that for my capstone.
Oh, cool.
So
it all ties together.
Ties together and comes together, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it makes me feel that there's hope, because a lot of times I feel very hopeless in the world realm of community and change. It can be a little pessimistic at times. I try to be optimistic, but I'm pretty at times not. And I think coming together, I feel a lot like more hope, which is good. Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that you were more pessimistic about it.
I try to make myself seem very optimistic because I think that's what everyone has assumed of me in the past. And so like especially in high school, that was like the persona people thought I had. So like I force that upon myself.
Mm.
It's just problematic in and of itself, I think. But I'm working through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation about like gender roles.
Yeah.
Expectations that we internalize, right,
yeah.
as women.
Always being a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I also went to an all-female high school.
Right.
So like, that's another like conversation of like gender roles, because who took on which roles?
Yeah.
When you're in an all-female high school.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's just a whole different conversation.
We'll put it to bed. We'll leave it.
Put a pin in
that. This will be next week's StoryCorps. Gender roles.
Nuts. Okay. My next question. So what is your hope for the future in either things we establish on how we post in social media and storytelling? Do you think we need to hold more, obviously we need to hold more conversations, but like, are we on a right track? Should we be doing more? Is it just gonna get worse? Probably. But
whispers.
Well, I think kind of the concluding conversation at the conference addressed this well of like, we want to post, right? Because we want to bring awareness of these communities or of these issues to the rest of our networks. And in a way, like, your social media sharing can be, like, educational. But we did kind of come to the conclusion, we definitely came to the conclusion at the session that everyone could be more thoughtful in terms of what they're posting and how they're posting. And that maybe we all should cut back to some extent, and maybe just post like one or two things when we're in community and really be intentional about how much time we're spending, you know, on Facebook or on Instagram mm-hmm. when we're in service, and maybe doing it like after service so that you can be fully present, and then post later. And that it can also, I think, serve as a way to reflect on your experience, right? So there are some benefits to the social media stuff, but that we just need to be more mindful and more thoughtful about what we're saying and when we're posting and what ultimately we want people to know about that experience. And to think more thoughtfully about who is in our social media networks and like how we are talking to them, you know.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice, I guess. I think unless something changes from conversations or, like, changing our own habits, it could get a lot worse. But I think this is a starting point of having these conversations. And I think it's really hopeful that there are a lot of different students from a lot of different university and colleges that will bring it back to their colleges and their programs to have these conversations about social media use. But I think it's really important to, I think Elena was touching on this, think about how we interact with our phones when we're in community. That doesn't necessarily have to be about when you're in service communities, but like when you're in intentional time with friends or intentional time at meals. When you bring your phone out, your conversation changes. Even if it's, like, sitting on your table, your research has shown that you're less likely to talk about deep and personal things if a phone is present, because you don't want to get vulnerable, because you don't know how attentive they're going to be. So, like, when you're serving in community and we're walking alongside a community, if you have your phone out taking pictures or, like, texting or not really being present, there's probably more harm than good going on. And I think you're not fully allowing yourself to be present and to, like, critically question a lot of things and be present with yourself. And I think that is a reason why a lot of people are lonely right now, is people don't have connections that they can have because of technology and such.
Or, I think going back to, people feel like they have to present themselves in a certain way, right? So they're not having the conversations they should be having either with the people in their lives or, you know, virtually in their networks. I think it's all connected.
Carol Breese talked about that in her that's mm-hmm. why I was like Carol's that
Carol.
I thought that was very interesting though
at her talk at her
okay. It was like love, she was talking about like love 2.0 and
micro communications.
Yeah, but it was like Sherry Tuckle.
Reclaiming conversation.
Yeah, reclaiming conversation and alone together. I think were like three of her main resources.
I thought that was very interesting though. Just because it is like when you need to tell someone something and you're on their phone and then you don't.
Yeah.
I also don't, this is a total sidebar nation, but I also don't understand, like, when you're with someone and, I don't know, like, someone's texting them or someone's calling them and they're like, oh, just a minute. And it's like, why does that person get precedence over me sitting physically right here in front of you?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if you have something important going on, I understand that. But then just, like, I'd rather you just cancel plans with me than hang around with me and be like, oh, I, like, I need to also be on my phone at the same time.
Yeah.
And, like, I grew up, like, before the internet was kind of a big thing. Like, we had a landline and, like, hanging at home, like, by your phone meant you were, like, a loser. Like, if like that was, like, an insult. I was like, oh, I'm just going to sit at home and, like, wait by the phone. And, like, now we're constantly waiting by the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we have, like, really hard conversations on our phone or text. And I think that is something that's scary.
But, see, I also think that's a generational thing.
Yeah.
Because as a millennial, I don't do that. Like, I don't like to really text. I don't like to have...
It goes back to the conflict thing, totally.
Yeah.
Like, I hate having, like, really hard conversations over text. One, you can't tell their facial expression. You can't hear the tone of voice. You don't know their meaning.
You can't relay empathy.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that is how just scrolling a novel.
Yeah. And, like, talking about going back to our conference, we had a ton of pictures on each slide. We ended up coming back a little bit, mostly so you could actually see the picture. But our intent was to, like, have a lot of photos shot, like, thrown in your face, because that's what you're doing as you're scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Or, I don't know, there's probably something new coming out that, like, middle schoolers are using these days. But, like, it's constant in your face, and that's how we need to be thinking at it and reflecting on it, because that's how we are interacting.
Yeah, that's how we process it. And we're not fully processing the images or the messages that we're necessarily getting all the time, because we're getting so many at the same time, right? And so that was something else we talked about in the conference session, was, like, knowing that someone's only going to look at your picture for 5 seconds, how do you relay, like, the meaning or the importance of what you think you're doing in service?
Like, on the... individuals in the photo looking at the camera, are you, how are you portraying the community? Are you portraying their assets? Are you portraying them as, like, a wonderful and, like, group of individuals? Or are you, like, showing their struggles, what are you showing in this picture? Because I was talking to my friend this weekend, and she was like, yeah, I don't even read the captions on Facebook or Instagram anymore. I just give it a like if I like the people. And I was like, all right, so that really shows that
what people are looking at.
Yeah, they're not looking at your caption. You could have a beautiful caption or a very, like, non-existent caption, but they're not going to know unless they truly, like,
take the time.
Yeah.
Scary. I'm trying to think if I... Oh. My last question was, what has it taught you? But we've kind of talked about everything it's taught you. So I guess other takeaways for yourself, or something interesting you learned at the conference that was different from your session.
I think my biggest takeaway was, you started talking about Lennon Cope and the empathy, but her quote that compassion is a muscle that needs to be, like, worked at, and it is, like, a way into empathy, or is empathy the gateway into compassion? Now I'm thinking
That was your Instagram caption. I know it was.
It was. Now I'm, like, thinking of what was the gate was.
I think it was empathy.
Is the gateway to compassion. That's what I was hoping that it was. And then I was, like, doubting myself in the moment. But yeah, I think that was a really big takeaway, that if you aren't practicing this muscle, it's going to, like, become weak and non-existent. But it's only going to be built up if you're in community and, like, supporting others. And social justice and advocacy is not going to be a one-person job. It's going to take a community and a village. But I think another important thing that I recognized is, during another keynote speaker, it gave off a sense of division, but we can't have that division, and you really need to be willing to meet people where they're at to start a conversation and dialogue. because it can't be a one-sided fight. And even though you might disagree with someone, like completely cutting them off is not gonna change. And that's something that's really hard for me, I think. I sometimes get really fed up when individuals are disagreeing with me, and I kind of don't want to interact, but that's not gonna actually create the change.
Well, especially if they aren't taking into consideration your side either, because then it's not even a dialogue anymore. No. It's just a debate over who's gonna come out on top, which is not, nobody's learning anything.
No, like a Facebook debate. I just was reading someone's Facebook post, and there was a debate about gun control, but it wasn't a dialogue. It was just two people going back and forth about the facts they had, but there was no interaction between the two facts. It's that bugs me, and that's not gonna be compassion. That's not gonna change anyone's point of view. That's not even gonna be an intellectual conversation.
Well, it's they're not even, nobody's trying to form an understanding of what's going on. They're just doing who knows more.
Yeah.
And this is why my facts are right and your facts are wrong.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me throw in a few big words to make myself.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I think I learned, it was a good, the conference as a whole, for me, was a good reminder that we don't have to solve all of the problems, right? Sometimes it's enough just to talk about the issues that we see and question things and be in conversation. And you don't have to put your all into trying to solve everything, because one, it's not possible. Two, it's a waste of your energy. And three, a lot of these questions or problems that our country or our communities have been dealing with for decades, and we can contribute to the solution, but we don't have to be the solution. And it's silly to think that we can solve things with one conversation or one presentation, but that it is important to bring up these questions and have these conversations and just get people thinking. And so to me, that was inspiring and reassuring and really affirming that I can be here at St. Norbert and raise questions and get people thinking, and that is enough. I don't need to be in all the places trying to solve all the things, right? Because I feel especially given the current political climate, a lot of people feel they need to be up and about and solving all these problems. And it's on the one hand, that's very worthy and very admirable, but on the other hand, sometimes it's enough just to be in your community and talking and connecting with people.
Yeah. I think that's where hope gets lost too, because when I sit there and think about just all these issues and problems, and it's so easy to just get so wrapped up in it and be there's no hope. Where do you even begin? But I mean, even if you just impact one life or one conversation or make someone aware of something, it is a start. And it's community too.
I think that's the beautiful thing about community, is you're all coming from different perspectives, and I think that's something. So with L'Arche, it is a community, and that was you all come with different problems and different life stories, but when you give a space for community to thrive, and it's not going to be perfect every time, and and it's okay that there's fear, and you're to embrace that fear, I think that's something beautiful about community. And Jean Vanier, who's the founder of L'Arche, talked about this fear, and he was this is a problem that communities have, is when you don't embrace that fear of difference and the fear of the unknown. But when you enter into that, you're able to be vulnerable and able to impact even one life and just ask questions, and that's enough.
And that's the thing with our social media networks, right?
Yeah.
Is you can totally control who's in your network, and now with all the algorithms on Facebook, you only see certain things, and you only see certain posts, and you get what's the word that I want? just like you can totally cut fear, like cut the unknown out of your life, right? Like, I was gonna say like inoculated or something, but it's like
you can filter what
you can filter out.
Comes in.
Yeah, discomfort, and I think that's a very scary thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that plays into so many other things too. Failure and conflict and all the good stuff. Okay, well, do we have to go the whole time?
No,
we can stop anytime. All right,
well, I think that was my last questions. My last question. But thank you for the conversation.
Thanks for having the conversation.
Yes.
It's been fun.
Yeah, thanks, well, Madeline.
I would like to do it again. You don't have to. All the time, but thank you. And
next time, gender roles.
All right. And do you want to say you're signing off?
Oh, this is Elena Morales signing off from St. Norbert College.
Bye.
Bye.
Perfect.
We should have a podcast.